The scripture reading is 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. I'll read. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences, and children of Sunday school. Today is the Feast of Harvest Sunday. Exodus chapter 23, verse 16, the first part says, "Also you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits of your labors, from what you sow in the field." The Feast of Harvest is one of the three major festivities of Israel. It's an occasion where you give thanks after harvesting the first fruit, which is wheat. In Korea, it is usually celebrated on the first Sunday of July, which is the time of barley harvest and the beginning of the second half of the year. In this festivity, we give thanks for the grace of God the Father, who has protected us and blessed us throughout the first half of the year. Through festivities, we can remember the things that we just forgot or missed and give thanks for them. While doing so, we can feel and engrave the grace and love of the Father God more deeply in our hearts. Acknowledge that all the conditions of thanksgiving came from God, and give thanks to Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. Then God will give you more situations for thanksgiving in the second half of the year. A festivity is a time of blessing when God and we, His children, share our love. In this message, let us think about the three kinds of grace of God among so many other things given by God. A Mandarin phrase song titled A Blessed Day is sung as follows. Today is a blessed day together, and hear the words of the truth and life of the Father. Today is a blessed day for those who believe and can experience His grace and power. I hope you will have such a day today. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will come to naturally sing Hallelujah. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the first grace given by God the Father is the grace of forgiving our sins. We give thanks to the Lord every day, remembering the cross He bore. Without the blood on the cross, we were destined to go to hell to pay the wage for our own sins. How dreadful it would have been. I believe some of you feel the sacrifices on the cross even more deeply than others. Do you remember December 25th, 2010? Until then, many people were turning their backs on the Lord by disregarding the word of life. They committed sins following the lust and temptations of the world. Knowing the truth, they committed sins depriving of salvation and the sins leading to death. They crucified the Lord all over again to put Him to open shame. Their hope of salvation was cut off, and they had no choice but to wait in fear for judgment. Above all, they felt so miserable, realizing they could no longer have any hope for heaven and New Jerusalem. But in a wondrous way, the Lord reached out His blood-stained hands to you once again. Many people repented of this past sin completely and came back within the boundaries of salvation again. Of course, if you committed sins leading to death, you cannot repent of them. It's because you cannot receive the spirit of repentance. And how was this impossible thing made possible? It was thanks to the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, 26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, but we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Also, Jesus said in John 16, verse 8, "And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." As His roles are explained, the Holy Spirit continually interceded for you with groanings. Of course, if you commit sins depriving of salvation repeatedly, or sins leading to death, and go out of the boundary of salvation again, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you anymore. Just as written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, don't quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you will be quenched. But the God of love, our Heavenly Father, urged my heart continuously so that you could repent. God urged me to unceasingly preach about sins and the judgment to come for them. The hearts of the Father God, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit are the same. God doesn't want even one soul to fall into hell. Jesus kept on giving chances to Judas Iscariot, even though he knew that the Judas had already been captured by Satan. I believe in this love of the Father God and the Lord and prayed. I also pleaded with you in tears. As you've seen, many days I stood on the pulpit with staggering body, for I lost all my energy. Reading the repentance letters you sent, I asked God to give you the grace to repent and turn back. Thankfully, God the Father didn't forsake my prayers. On December 25, 2010, He gave those of you who repented from heart the grace of forgiveness. Furthermore, even after that, He continued giving you strength and grace to cast away your love for the world and the works of the flesh. It depends on you. God can give you the power and the ability to cast off this kind of sins. If you stand against this kind of grace and lead yourself to destruction again, what shall I do? For example, do you remember this past New Year's service? I was away for the mountain prayer, and I sang the Castle of the Shepherd with you through the telephone during the worship service. At that time, many people said they received the grace and strength to cast off sins and evil. One of the college students said he was set free from internet game addiction. Also, many people received strength to cast off sins and evil through the blessing festivity, Daniel prayer meetings, and the other worship services. You didn't only come back within the boundaries of salvation, but you also came to hope for New Jerusalem. Many church members have demolished the barriers of sin, and now they are receiving healings and financial blessings. How thankful we should all be! Let us give all thanks and glory to God the Father, who has given us such a great grace. Of course, He had given us grace of repentance several times in the past. He gave us special days and saved us many times from the pits of sin, from which we couldn't get out of by our own strength. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you must never leave the bosom of the Lord ever again. You must not crucify Him all over again either. This is the way to pay back His grace. We all man-made members can do it. It's because God the Father is still pouring down His grace on us without ceasing. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22 says, I've wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud, and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will forever dwell in the bosom of this good Father, Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the second kind of grace given by God the Father is the grace to increase our measure of faith. What is the reason that the wheat or barley ripen and create gold-colored waves? Of course, it's also because the farmer has sown the seeds and taken care of them diligently, but the farmers cannot make the crops grow even by a single inch. It can be done only by God the Creator. It's the same with the growth of faith. Just by going to church or doing many good works within one's own standards doesn't guarantee one's growth in faith. If one can increase his faith so easily, why would there be people who are at the same level for so many decades? And people claim to have a faith since they were born. Most of them are still in the third level of faith and are not able to enter into the level of spirit. Also, why would some people who used to diligently attend church suddenly change their mind and leave God? It's because it's difficult to increase our faith, and sometimes people backslide in faith. The growth of faith can be given only by God the Father. Of course, the kind of faith I'm talking about here is spiritual faith. Spiritual faith is one that is given from above, given by God. So the faith you are taking hold of, you must discern whether it's a spiritual faith or a fleshly faith. The spiritual faith should grow up and should be changed completely into spiritual faith from the fleshly faith. So, through the leadership conference from tomorrow, I want all of you to passing through the level of the rock of faith. I mean, after standing on the rock of faith and enter into the level of spirit as soon as possible. So, it is the true faith that leads us to salvation in heaven and the living faith to bring down answers. And what is the fleshly faith on the contrary? You say, Lord, I believe, but you do not have the deeds that follow by living by the word. It is that faith which you cannot bring down answers of God. So it's that faith with which you cannot bring down answers of God. Even the beginners of Christian life confess, saying, I love you, Lord. But we should discern whether it is true or not when they confess that I love you. I love you, Lord. Or you say, Lord, I believe, but you do not have the deeds that follow by living by the word. It is that faith which you cannot bring down answers of God. Fleshly faith is also called faith as knowledge, for you know about God and the truth only as knowledge. But thankfully, most of you here have spiritual faith. Not only that, but since the grace of forgiveness on the Christmas of 2010, your spiritual faith has been growing rapidly. It's been especially true since the time around the leadership conference last year. In this past New Year's service, you passed a test given by God, and you yourselves could check the level of growth of your spiritual faith. There is one more piece of evidence that shows your increased faith. It is that you kept your positions well while I was gone for many weeks for my mountain prayers. Well, before, when I just had a pilgrim tour for 2 weeks, for example, then lots of church members didn't come to the church, didn't attend the worship service, even a couple of hundred for overseas crusade when I attended. Some of the church members were not able to come to the church. But last time, I was almost 10 weeks in the mountain to pray, but there's no change in attendance. So it means that your faith grew up. So I thank you all. Faith is something like this, something like the above. It is to live by the word of God in any circumstance or any situation, whether or not you are being watched or not. Brothers and sisters, it's never easy for your faith to increase by one percentile. But the faith of many of you increased by scores of percentiles within several months or in just a couple of years. For some people, 10% or 20%, they experienced that kind of a growth in faith. Many of you grew up in faith so much, from fleshly faith to spiritual faith, and even getting close to Spirit and Holy Spirit. This is something that man could never do. It was made possible because God the Father supplied you with spiritual water and sunshine continually. In particular, it is the aurora lights that God has given us since my birthday this past May that have acted as a stimulus to let your faith grow up. Through the aurora lights, many of you say, I can see myself, which I have not been able to see for decades. I realize now that I had such evil in me. I realize I had such a strong self-righteousness and mental frameworks. Also, many of you somewhat regret your past, saying, it's so easy to cast away sins, so why couldn't I do this earlier? What is truly to be thankful for is that even the new believers who couldn't have any spiritual faith were changed, and the many believers who were disheartened are coming back. All this was made possible because God the Father gave us the rapid flow of Spirit. The latter half of Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 says, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. As said, you are very quickly passing through the wilderness called human cultivation, riding on the rapid current of grace that the Father God has given to you these days. You are quickly taking after the image of God, running towards New Jerusalem in heaven. On the other hand, is there anybody who feels that your faith is not really growing up? So I want you to feel so sensitively. For the last couple of years, I've been just stood still. Why you are not able to enter into the next level? And some of you misunderstand. Even though you are in the second level of faith, but you think you are in the third level of faith, or you think you all stand on the rock of faith. Why? Because you have a position and it's been a long time for you to be a Christian, and you have heard a lot of words of God, and you have a lot of duties. So, even though, because you have not heard the words of God through revelation, what kind of level of measure of faith you are, that's why you thought that you think that you are near the standing on the rock of faith. For 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years, why is it that you have not been able to stand on the rock of faith? You must understand the reason why. So if you have been trying to ride on the flow of Spirit, you should be able to see at least the dry branches are supplied with water again, and they are beginning to grow further. Now you must just keep growing up. There is no need for being discouraged. Latter half of Luke chapter 18, verse 8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I've been traveling many countries, and I've heard a lot about what's happening in different countries through the servants of God and through the media. It's difficult for me to find out the people who have a genuine faith, the spiritual faith, I mean. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So it's the end time when the sin Son of Man comes, because the world is covered by the evil. So it's difficult to find the faith. When the Son of Man comes, it is different. The end time is the from Jesus' birth and till Jesus comes again. But now, Luke chapter 18 verse 8 is talking about when the Son of Man comes. Will he find faith on the earth? The whole world is so covered with evil. So many people claim to believe in God and claim to love God, but it's not genuine. It's not truth. If you truly love God from your inner heart, for me, since my early Christian life, I just spent my days with weeping, crying, because I was longing to see Father God and the Lord. So I wanted to listen to the voice of God. Of the Lord, and I fasted and prayed and visiting the prayer mountains in different places because I wanted to hear the voice of the Lord. And till I got the answer, I just prayed again and again to understand the spiritual meaning of the Bible. I couldn't but cry. When I thought of the Lord while I was reading the Bible. If you truly love God, then what will happen? If you are not able to see the one whom you love, it's painful. You've been longing to see him or her. So if you say that I love you, Father, then you must have tears in your eyes. So if you love God first, then that kind of love comes upon you. There are different levels and the dimensions in confession, I love you, God. Some people confess that I love you when he loves 10%, and some people confess when he loves 50%. And those who enter into the level of spirit? Yes, their confession is true. So now is the time, Luke chapter 18, verse 8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now is such a time. Let us give all thanks and glory to God the Father who has given us spiritual and true faith in this age and who has let us hope for the second coming of the Lord honestly. Well, the hope for New Jerusalem is a great faith. If you have a confidence in New Jerusalem and if you have a hope for New Jerusalem in your Christian life, it's a great faith. It's not easy to get this kind of level of faith. God has given you this kind of faith. Most of you have this kind of level of faith now. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the third kind of grace given by the Father God is the grace of being given a true shepherd. While I was in the mountain for prayer, many of you realized the importance of the shepherd for the flock while listening to the lecture on Psalm 23. Dr. Esther Cheung preached about the sheep and the shepherd in detail. I feel more of you than before now, professing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, as in Psalm 23, verse 1. God the Father, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit are our true shepherd. Because God who is our shepherd is guiding us, we can get the food and water in spirit and body. Above all, we can go with comfort towards the heavenly kingdom, which will become our true resting place. John chapter 10, verse 11, 12 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. So the Lord is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has become the atoning sacrifice. But the hired hand, he just worked for payment. He just worked because of payment, salary. So he's not a shepherd, and who is not the owner of the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, if something's not beneficial for him and threatening his benefit, then he just flees. In 1998-1999, we experienced it. When the secular media attacked this church, so the parish pastor and parish minister just flee and left the ship. They thought that it was not beneficial for them to stay here. Instead of praying and fasting and taking care of the sheep. And what did they do after leaving this church? They just asked us to pay for them for retirement money, etc. They should have left. Otherwise, it would have been difficult for us. Because they were identified and they just left. How could they sue against this church to the secular court? And even a lot of Levites who left this church and sued this church to pay for their retirement money to secular court. So they were false Levites and false servants of God. That's why God revealed them, so that they might leave. And God purified us. So, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. As I have been ministering, I imprinted these verses in my heart again and again. I've been trying to take care of the flock entrusted to me with prayers. And I believe that it was the answer to such prayers of mine that the God gave us the forgiveness and increased our faith, which were the two kinds of grace mentioned earlier. Since God the Father called me to be His servant, I had a great desire to save numerous souls. I clung to God with prayers and fasting for this. I wanted to understand the way to do it and also to know the will of God the Father. And God the Father clearly showed to me the spiritual realm, which used to be only a vague idea. God has shown me the spiritual realm and allowed me to study spiritual realm, about spiritual realm, and allow me to harbor the spiritual realm. So I came to realize very clearly about the spiritual realm. Before, it was very vague. But now, it's like I have seen it actually. I know about it. And God has shown me in different ways. Now you believe the spiritual realm, and even you are longing for entering into the spiritual realm and the level of spirit. Furthermore, he also let me know what this church must do at this end time. And it is to evangelize this country and the whole world and to build a grand sanctuary. And my hope has become even more crystallized. It has evolved to be, I will save numerous souls and build a grand sanctuary at this end time along with our church members and enter into New Jerusalem. And the past days that I had to endure to fulfill this hope were by no means easy. especially when I came to know the details of the sins that our church members committed after the rapid flow of spirit started. I felt such great pain that I thought it was like the pain of the abyss. One thing was curious. So God allowed me to experience the pain of the abyss. When I preached about the revelation and heaven and hell, those who are not saved fall into the lower grave and will be punished. And after the great judgment of the great white throne, and they will enter into the lake of fire or lake of the fire of sulfur, and they will be punished forever and ever. There will be no rest time, even a second. However, the enemy, devil, Satan, will fall into the abyss. It's not the lake of sulfur, fire of lake of fire, or lake of fire of sulfur. So I was curious why. Why is it that the enemy devil Satan would fall into abyss and those who were not saved would fall into the lake of fire or lake of fire of sulfur? But when I was in the mountain, God allowed me to experience the pain of abyss for 24 hours. Oh, it was terrible. I would prefer to have a physical pain. Then I could have a resting time, even a minute or something. Think about it. If you have pain continually, but you have a resting time, 1 minute or something, it would be better than continuous pain. So the pain of the abyss, it's like being stopped. So I thought of a Chinese novel, the monkey who had been pressed down by a heavy rock for a couple of thousands. He was set free and he just flew high in the above, etc. It's kind of just novel, but when I had that kind of pain, it was so strongly and severely stopped. And without resting, the pain and the hardships continued. I just longed for just 1 minute of rest at that time. So it was like a pain of the abyss. So I came to realize that God would put the enemy devil Satan into the abyss according to the justice. So I just prayed a lot, and God showed me the spiritual realm clearly. And furthermore, He also let me know what this church must do at the same time, and it is to evangelize this country and the whole world and build a grand sanctuary. And my hope has become even more crystallized. It's about to be. I will save numerous souls and build the grand sanctuary at this end time, along with our church members, and enter New Jerusalem. So if I can find any possibility to enter into New Jerusalem from the church members, then I concerned more about those Jewish members. And those who are close to stand on the rock of faith, then they will be revealed. And those who enter into the level of spirit, I believe that they will enter into New Jerusalem, definitely, because they will not turn back and go back to the world again. So, it's very important for you to enter into, stand on the rock of faith first, and then enter into the level of spirit. Then you can see the New Jerusalem in front of you. It's not easy to go up by 1%, but if the Holy Spirit is with you, even though it's difficult, but you can do it. Because God works for you with the power. So you can do it. So, and the past days that I had to endure to fulfill this hope were by no means easy, especially when I came to know the details of the sin that our church members committed after the rapid flow of spirit started. I felt such great pain that I thought it was like the pain of the abyss. More than anything else, I had the greatest agony when I thought about the people I knew who were going to remain during the seven-year tribulation, or when I had pictured them in hell but not in heaven. So I clung to the Father God without ceasing. I also proclaimed about sin, righteousness, and judgment without rest, taught you the spiritual things and encouraged you so you could ride on the flow of spirit. Taught you the spiritual words of the Father God incessantly, awaited with patience, hoping with faith that the many of you would change. And all these works proved to be worthwhile. Many of you actually changed. I came to show to the Father God the flock who can be saved, and furthermore, the souls who can enter into New Jerusalem. The number will still be added to in the future, so I'm so thankful. I'm encouraged even more because many of you trust me as your shepherd and try to become my strength. I can stand here at this hour thanks to the aroma of such hearts as yours. When I came down from the mountain, God told me, the same week or the week before, if you go down, you can see the faith of the church members. Your church members? How much your church members love you, the shepherd? You will see how much they love you. And the love of the shepherd. And I love my sheep. Through that power, you will stand. When you preach on the altar, I will take hold of you. I will give you strength to cope with. Through the love of the church members, your love, I'm standing here. I was not able to sustain my body because I lost all my energy. The power of the Father God and your love helped me. Soon, we will begin the construction of the Canaan sanctuary and accomplish world evangelism with the amazing power. Let's look forward to the kinds of works that God the Father will reveal before us. Let's give all thanks and glory to God the Father, who has established this church and called us as the shepherd and the flock that will fulfill His great will and providence. Let me conclude the message, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and the viewing audiences. Today, on the Feast of Harvest, we review the three kinds of grace, namely, grace of forgiveness, grace of increasing our faith, and grace of giving us the true shepherd. But the foremost of all kinds of grace is that we came to feel the great love of the Father and dwell in that love that He is giving to us. It is just as today's scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. God is love. That's what we have been hearing. And we heard why Jesus Christ was crucified. You know why. And you believe. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We have the leadership conference beginning tomorrow. Hope you will attend it with a thankful heart for all the grace given until now, and with a heart that relies on the love with which God gives us only good things. Then the Father God will let all of you have amazing growth in faith. Pray in the name of the Lord that you will have greater and more grace in spirit and body in the second half of this year. Let's pray together. Father God, lay your hand on us now, from the top of the head to the end of the feet, from the inner organs, and by the fire of the Holy Spirit, scorch us and be clean and be strong, both physically and spiritually. Let the light come down on you. Father, bless us to see well, and bless us to have a strong stomach, and the skin disease go away, and terminal cancers go away, and the high blood pressure, low blood pressure, diabetes, by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be scorched and be healed. And Father, walk through us beyond transcending the time and space. Father, walk through us. And we have a prayer request from overseas. I cannot mention all the details. So Father, you know the situation and answer to their prayer. Mongol, Ukraine and Venezuela and next countries, lots of people have asked us to pray. Father, cannot mention all the details now, but you know everything. Lay your hand on them and answer to their prayer. Father, thank you. Bless us to be strong, both physically and spiritually. And the germs and diseases go away. All the skin diseases and all the internal organs, by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be scorched and be strong. And those who are lying on the sick bed in the hospitals, walk through them and heal them. Father, give us the peace and bless us to have a leadership conference and protect our transportation vehicles and take hold of the handle of the vehicles of the church members and protect our home and businesses. Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.